interrupting the current neo-Euchronial, climate change, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode, can you believe it? BTWRLM500. Thank you for all of your emails congratulating me on getting here. Appreciate that. We're going to have a big old drawing, but we don't really know how to do that. So at least I thought about it. We got bigger things to do, folks, than celebrating, in a way. This 500 broadcasts here on Royal Liberty Media is after a whole lot of other ones on other networks. And speaking of which, this one, again, going through the transition is going to be a little bit difficult, so bear with us as we are having technical difficulties as things go on. Grimner used to take care of things pretty adequately, very adequately, and that's not the case quite yet as people start trying to figure out how to keep this thing going. And so appreciate last week we had a couple of problems that we try to bring resolved, and we're continually trying to move to resolve them. So appreciate patience on all that. And where the redneck dentist doesn't turn left, I don't use brakes, because this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for two continuous hours, break-free. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. What is that? That's you getting involved. And the very first thing I want to get to immediately here is this policy that's happening in San Francisco Police Department. I told you years ago what you're going to have to start doing because of the way this direction, the trajectory of all this. You're going to have to outlaw things you don't want the government to do by policy even. For as much as people may not agree with that. The government works on policy first, and then it goes up the chain. I hope people appreciate what I said last week about the faith-based attack against the Second Amendment, showing it's not a God-given right, relative to the Constitution. I hope you all figured out what I was doing there. I'm trying to get people to think a little bit different than they normally think. You address your rights and your abilities within the context of that structure. You don't start with the top. You don't start with the things that are outside of jurisdiction. You have to start within the jurisdiction. And they have laid out a hierarchy of how that works. And rules and policies and things are down at the bottom, and that's where you start. You don't get to your constitutional rights unless you can show that all the other stuff that they're putting at you wasn't correct relative to that constitution ultimately. So I hope if you disagreed with me last week, maybe rethink what I'm doing behind the woodshed, trying to instruct how you think, how you go through to analyze what you're supposed to say. Because if you go too far, too fast, the system says, and the presumption that the government does right, the presumption is the government's done right. And if you just say, oh, I have a constitutional right, they presume that they did right to fulfill that. You have to literally know what you're doing and work to say within the policy. Well, I've told you before, for wildfires, the National Wildfire Policy sits there to guide federal agencies on how they act. Right in there, it agrees, the policy agrees with the 10th Amendment for county, local county authority. So I needed to start there, not analyze the constitutional power of the county relative to the various constitutional compacts. I needed to go locally and say, okay, what's the policy for this? And see that it should be consistent with the law. Well, in this case, it was. It gave the power, ultimate power for these fires to the county, the local government, actually. And so there you are. I was dealing in policy. And so I've been offering that you need to get into policy. This story is really a serious one. In fact, the tagline to this, SFPD authorized to kill suspects using robots in draft policy we talked about last week, actually got amended in between the last week, and they did something. And all the critics are sitting outside the game here while this is going on, and Will Jarrett, the author of this article, says, this is not normal. No legal professional or ordinary resident should carry on as if it is normal. There you go. Call Get Behind the Woodshed. How do you do that? You go and then you have to engage this. And this is at the policy level. The government officials, the police, are coming in to say, we want the right to use robots to kill people. And they're not getting a very good obstruction, more than people criticizing it, requiring the people have to step up. Within the policy considerations, the government's asking for the ability to kill you with a robot. So there you are. And I've been saying, no, you're going to have to go in there and counter all that. Now, I know it's a lot of work, and I don't like it. I'm not advocating that this is even something we should be doing necessarily relative to a constrained government, but it's not constrained anymore. So this draft policy faces criticism from advocates for its language on robot force, and RoboCop here, folks, as well, they showed us before, as well as excluding hundreds of assault rifles from its inventory of military-style weapons and not for including personnel costs in the price of its weapons. These are real military-style weapons. These are the ones that are gotten from the military, not your so-called assault rifle, which really has no proper definition going on in the article. Peskin, chair of the committee, initially attempted to limit the SFPD's authority over the department's robots by inserting the sentence, quote, robots shall not be used as a use of force against any person, close quote. The following week, the police struck out this suggestion with a thick red line. It was replaced by language that codifies, here we go now, codification, the next step up, because this is what you look at the government, how the hierarchy works. The next step up is the local body making law, ordinances that are law or as law, and they codify this. This is your code. So you listen to the hierarchy I was speaking to last week about saying, well, no, your rights underneath the Constitution are not a God-given right, and a faith-based group, so-called, is attacking you for that. Think about that. Think about how this works. Anyway, so the language codifies the department's authority to use lethal force via robots. Quote, robots will only be used as deadly force or option when risk of loss of life to members of the public or officers are imminent and outweigh any other force option available to San Francisco Police Department. No, just force options here. So there it is. That's what they want to put in, and there's really not a good pushback, it seems. I'm suggesting get you behind Woodson. Get over there. You people in San Francisco, you really have to engage this policy side of thing. You need to get in the law everything you need to protect people. And you need to advocate very hard and long to make that work. My thought on this just quickly was, A robot use against a person, if we're presumed innocent and we're dealing with someone who has a mental breakdown or mentally defective in some regard or has trouble, however you want to describe that, that person, so-called, still needs the defense to be innocent until proven guilty. In my mind, a mental incapacity defense is a defense. It may not get you a crime, but it does get you a mental check, potentially a mental mitigation. That's not an execution sentence. So my thought on this is, if you don't know who you're dealing with, they're the right to have the presumption of innocence, and their defense is that they could have been mentally incapacitated in the moment. You're executing an innocent, someone who's innocent, actually. Innocent of a sentence of death. As an offer of some decision to bring in these places of San Francisco, the place of inclusion. They want to say they help people all the time. They want to be empathetic. They talk. It's all words. You can bring force and effect to that. That was one of the things that came to my mind. If we're presumed innocent, notwithstanding what all the police actions doing, that has to be maintained the entire time. Now, they do have evidence where examples that seem legitimate on mass casualties are going on, and you need to take somebody out. But maybe there's a different way to handle all that. Maybe we get to the mental problems before instead of after. And stop using this as an ability to use machines to execute people. Leaked messages reveal how AP published false Russian missile story. Again, machines of war being used against people, and then that being used to garner agreement and foment more additional war. I told you this was a very serious story. We're going to a couple stories here in the beginning, or just to touch base from what happened last week and the weeks before. This was a couple weeks old before I could get to it. This news is going so quickly now. This notice to us is going so quickly. This was a very, I don't know if people appreciate the loss of diplomacy and statesmanship in the world. But this is how close we got. I'm not the only one that said that this looked like it could have, this was so reckless. This action of the missile declaring that Russia hit Poland with a missile was so reckless that it is bringing you literally right to the brink. And here this story comes a week later to say miscommunication between American news agencies' editors led to the headline that could have triggered a global war. This was a very serious problem. This was a very reckless act. Here we now see AP in emails. We get to see how the editors really don't work so well together. how one actually understands. They know this, folks. They know it would have triggered. They have the question, but didn't go further because they didn't give importance to it, that it could have triggered an Article 5 catastrophe and world war because of a NATO ally getting hit. It's actually mentioned in here. One of the editors mentioned it, how close this thing was. As I told you last week, the United States didn't mess around on this one. They got right to it, figured out who'd done it, and they said, we can't go there. And so we're really, I don't know, by the grace of God, folks, we're right on the edge of certain things. It is now coming out. That was no joke. The journalism may have happened finally last time for this, where they actually came out and retracted one of their dumb stories. They're reckless. It's not even dumb. It's reckless. We're that close, folks. They're just something's just holding back this thing on being that close. And yet you see, for all the saber-rattling, the United States knows what it's doing. And so everything that you're seeing is really the plan. I want you to see this is the plan to keep us on that edge. And people are just going to have to finally get to the fed up with it. Why more people don't I guess you think about it. I keep saying no one listens. No one's listening behind the woodshed in an action sense. Taking our observations and put them in action. Everyone talks so much about what they know and how they figured it out and this and that and the other, that we're not moving in action to start making that the noise that people need to make. I saw this story. I can't tell you how close this brought us. And here it is. The next week. I'll move on now. Could have triggered global war. This was very serious. Way more serious than this, even the nuclear saber rattling, actually. They're inching us so much closer to these. We're just going to be taken down by stupidity. Or there's going to be an intent behind the one that goes through, and it's really, we kind of see the prediction that the United States needs a war. They need a war. They need to figure out. They don't want a global war, but they need a war. Now, there are lots of different ways of war. They have an economic war going on with Russia directly. It's not a proxy war. They have an economic war going against the EU. They have a commodities war going against the EU in competition with Russia. All that in the background with people that think a lot clearer and bigger than I certainly might think, or not, I don't know, but they may have an understanding of what's really going on here, why they're having to do all this. I don't see the justification for it all that way. And so I'm not so clear that this has to be done, but this is how close they're bringing. We talk about brinksmanship. I don't know in all my life I've ever seen quite the brinksmanship globally that I'm watching. Together with the global overthrow of the transformation, I should say, the reset that they tell us. Again, all that I was telling. In fact, it's finally coming out in one of the Twitter feeds. And I can't get into Twitter so well, so I don't know what I'm seeing much. But they're now saying, oh, everyone's now identifying that China is the model for the future. Klaus Schwab said it. And I responded, well, you were shown, I think it was Zero Hedge. You were shown this when Obama said there was a pivot to China under the drama of a military problem. You know, behind the woodshed, you've been listening to me anytime I've said that. This wasn't even a hard one to figure out. That we're just finding out now. All the celebritudes in the world now, all these so-called alt media, just now coming to the fact after the fact. If we were ahead of the fact and got behind the woodshed when we saw it and acted, we may have been able to curtail this. And that line that they're bringing us to before it flips over is so close right now. And I can't predict the future to know when or exactly how. Like I told you, I knew what was going to happen relative to the medical martial law condition was coming. I couldn't give it a name. I haven't given that site, so I have to deal with that as a limitation. But it's not impossible to see. It wasn't just the pivot to China that caused me to say Obama's pivot to China was actually handing the ball to China to run with it globally. There's all kinds of other factors that were going on. Remember, I was talking about Russia collecting gold. China started collecting gold. They started to close off some of their markets. They started to go grab more markets internationally, make more deals with countries, make friends with more countries, not do the war thing like the United States was. So I said, that's a shift. People are going to not want to get beat up. And you're seeing the ramifications now, though. The United States trying to be the bully in the world. And anyway, I'll get off. There's so much to really kind of go through. Well, I'm sure a lot of you see it. What I'm saying is that we need, now that we see it, we have to think down the road into the future and say, how is that hurting us? Because this is actually hurting the people in the United States. Then we're going to, I don't know how deep this is going to go, but today's going to be more of an economic type thing as we watch The signs are all around us. How long are we going to stand here and take it? But still staying over there in the Russia side, and for because of touching up things I said last week and maybe weeks before relative to all that's going on. Church accuses Ukraine of trying to intimidate our Orthodox faithful. Kyiv's security services have raided an iconic Christian monastery run by the Moscow Patriarchate. And so this is continuing. It's not unusual that a government would attack a church. That's happened through history, but you're seeing it again. It's happening now. This is when big power shifts are going. I understand a little bit better from last week's broadcast and looking and researching that. The reason why after 2014 the church got attacked was because the United States was putting its global leader, a religious leader in place to help bring this new agenda, sustainable agenda forward, this new transformation of the world. I still say that, and I still can't believe that the United States and the military is allowing all this stuff without a check and balance. I can't believe that military intelligence is that stupid. And I don't believe it is. There's a big control structure going on. They denied the nation state, but then your nation state's denied, then you have internal chaos in a way of a control. And they're bringing that technocratic control. Even Russia is doing it, notwithstanding it's stopping part of it. This orthodoxy is stopping part of it. While Russia turns on what it's doing consistent with the global order. It's just doing the bipolar mental illness of the world. It's doing part of that. And so it's an interesting cover on what's going on that I've figured that this church is a religious, behind the scenes, this is a spiritual war, if you will, mind, body, spirit. You see the attack on everything, and it's going to take people, moral people, to step up finally and act, not just talk about it. So this came in right after I'm telling you this is important. The Kyiv is coming in and attacking again, right at one of the focal points, if we will pay attention, I think, that guides us to see the subject matter areas that are getting more and more and more important as this thing pinches down into seeing which side do you want to be on and how long are you going to stand there before you take that choice. Because the fence sitters, the non-decision makers are going to be on the side of the evil that's coming on us because you don't stop it. That's the consent. IAEA comes in here, a primary instrument of pre-aggression, where we have the aggression of Kyiv and driven by NATO instrumentalities, the United States and the UK, that's aggression coming to the church, which shouldn't be connected. And I hope some of you picked up and maybe even questioned me a little bit. But the Orthodoxy, Russian Orthodoxy, is a state church type thing. Yeah, there's that too. And that's why I'm telling you, you got to look very carefully on how you parse this through and why we look at the spiritual leadership that the Russian Orthodoxy shows and the abandoned or the claimed global leadership like the Pope becomes relative to its promotions under sustainable development. You see, there's a chasm there as well. But yes, the Russian is not so, the Russian Orthodoxy is not necessarily so separate, and it all depends on their relationship there. That Putin has taken and divided that and still doing what the future allows, a technocratic future, allows to a government that's looking to, well, it has a problem too. It has to control how it survives in a world that's now against it. So I got to be a little bit not so judgmental as to why they do it, but it certainly brings on all the same things. And I don't understand that Putin is not different than essentially the technocratic sustainable crowd. It's just going to be private to that. And how they control their, like China controls theirs, the United States will control theirs. Essentially, it'll break out into these, we already have it, the financial constructs of the world under banks that are working out how they're going to interact and essentially keep controlling the human capital, those animal, domesticated animals that don't understand what their rights really are, how to get at them. And they'll use technocratic controls to do it and press upon the needs of the people, and eventually you're weeded out. I mean, you just get pushed aside. There's not enough of you to really do much, and the system just ignores you, as it's doing right now. It's not like that's not even a question. I just tell you that's what's going on. The judiciary ignored a case in Tennessee. It did all the anticipated defenses. It did all the things anticipated it would do to evade doing justice. By doing so, it destroyed an entire subject matter of law called equity. Anybody wants to go and see that, they can. The questions are eliminated one by one here. And I'm only trying to make records in the world, if you will, wherever I can see them to be done. The people that lead with the tip of the spear, I can help. Maybe we can make those records to show once and for all it's not an opinion. We're an occupied people, and now globally. And this is not a joke. And you better step up quick, because it's happening way quicker even than the broadcast can keep up. I'm already weeks and weeks behind on subject matter. We'll move on over here. The IAE, primary instrument of pre-aggression, not the aggression of a government against a church. But this is pre-aggression, political now, you watch, and this is all, again, the politics of war is a translated political action. The IAEA, primary instrument of pre-aggression, sets scene for U.S.-Israeli unilateral actions, says an analyst, and goes through an interesting discussion against nuclear power, relevant to what's going on in Ukraine as well, but focused on what's going on in Iran. Or Iran, I should say, Iran somewhere. And the first statement was a very clear statement of what's going on and a concise statement of what we're suffering everywhere. And that's why I appreciated this part and why I'm talking too much about this part, even though it sounds a little bit offside. It's all part of this narrative weave that brings up these false dramas that we have to focus on while the conditions being moved in underneath. This analyst has described the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, as a primary, quote, instrument of pre-aggression, which paves the way for Israel and the U.S. to take unilateral actions against Iran. Now, I want to listen to this next paragraph, because it's just analyzing what we suffer all the time, how it gets done against us. Partly the list I look at when it starts to happen, okay, here. This is, they're doing the method. So where do we jump in to stop it? Where do I look to try and head it off? In a way, I don't mean head it off to stop it, because there's not enough of us to do that. Head it off to understand it so that we might stop it. Where to go in? What I did with the so-called COVID swindle, with the one to say it was a pandemic. Not even recognized by any local jurisdiction, a pandemic. And yet everyone wrapped themselves around a presumption that something like that existed. And the oxymoron, the presumption of an emergency, it doesn't exist in law. No one relied on the law they talk about they have rights to. The quote here that I want you to pay attention to is someone analyzing how you get taken down, whether you're individual, whether you're a group, or whether you're a nation. The IAEA has become a primary instrument of pre-aggression. In other words, they create a scenario. They make the false charges, they do not prove the charges, and then they use the false unproven charges to stoke the fires of aggression against you. John Bosnich told Press TV on Monday while commenting on recent tensions between Iran, I'll get it one of these days, and the IAEA following a resolution passed by the UN Nuclear Body's Board of Governors. The politically motivated draft resolution ratified on Thursday, which criticized Iran for what it called a lack of cooperation with the agency, it was put forward by the United States, Britain, France, and Germany in continuation of their political pressures on Iran. Bosnich added that the trend that has been going on for years against Iran is rooted in Israeli lobby and its influence on the U.S. government and American personnel inside IAEA. Quote, it looks like yet another provocation to create false grounds for aggressive action against Iran. The political analyst further pointed out the invented excuses and provocations against Iran, saying that the United States uses the IAEA as a tool to make it a bit more believable to those naive people around the world who still hold trust in such institutions. This is an article goes on and on, some more interesting analysis. I think it's very prescient of what's going on. It's right here, if you heard it. This is what goes on. This is how when you see them, you know them when you see them, they start doing it. And all these people do this. You have to jump in. You have to stop it. You have to make a statement against it somewhere, make a record, I say, somehow. Give yourself a footing that can't be, what, done the same thing. Make a false charge against you. And this is part of what's going on and part of what I try to do with the records to show this is what was going on, and you have an objective basis to base how you were mistreated to show others that it may be naive. And that's a gradation from clueless all the way to, I think I know something, but I don't quite got it analyzed quite right. That to those that Seymour, no, that's not a name of a guy, but Seymour, and well, at least for Behind the Witch, I believe I bring the proper suggestions at least to begin to address some of this. Again, it has to begin with each people to do so. As I said before, it's, being free is not a spectator sport. These people in the world, I don't know where they've come from, the lake, I guess, and they're taking us over, and they have a method. This guy's analyzed it, and this is a, I thought that's a very cool article about doing probably better than I do on the broadcast to delineate better informally and in writing how these things kind of work. You see the method. As soon as you see it, you better be looking for what they're targeting or what you think they can target and what you're going to step in. I hope you've heard all about the Kobe swindle in that. I hope you heard all about how their energy, how the supply chain swindle worked, all that. How it's all the same over and over. But that's just one of the lists of things that are done. This cancel culture works on the same way. If you don't understand that yet, if you haven't quite figured it out, and if you do, then I'm asking you to take all that knowledge and put it in practice. Figure out, be more intelligent than I have time to be, or more creative than I have time to be, and use the skill you might have that's more able to address this in better ways. I get kind of stuck in a track until I see people starting to get the right idea, stop focusing on the wrong thing. Like a dog, you point to a, you got two types of dogs. One, you point to something, they look at where you're pointing. The other ones, they look at the tip of your finger. You want to be the one that's looking at the distance and start moving based on what you see. Like, there's an attacker coming. What are you going to do? What are you doing to defend yourself? Anyway, very cool analysis here written down for us if we didn't understand. I found it a very, in writing, it's a very important thing to see how simple this organizes up, and those are the points. You're looking for those elements no matter where you go. Five reasons why a G7's price cap in Russia's oil is doomed. As we keep moving through the prior notices and stuff to us, and looking to see, as I said, the attack is on the people of the country that's doing the sanctions and things. And this is another analysis that explains why this new price cap on Russian oil is doomed, one of which is what I've told you myself before, listed right in this list. And again, it's not what you see. This is, it's not hard to figure out what's going to happen. Told you it was going to boomerang back. This is not an attack on Russia at all. They're capable. They've been seeing it. The pivot to China was, Russia was doing it before. They were preparing before the pivot to China, before China started doing it. They pivoted to China once China was established good enough. Russia was doing it a couple years before that. Same type of actions were taken. And this article starts out, Western allies are scheduled to approve a price cap on Russian oil exports on Wednesday. The cap will ban companies from providing shipping and financial services needed to deliver Russian crude unless it is sold below the agreed limit. Will the plan work? It's analysis of that it won't. When you hear this, providing shipping and financial services, when I saw that was the point. My immediate idea was, why doesn't, all Russia has to do to circumvent that is create their own tanker fleet and start shipping their own self and self-insuring. We hear that in the United States. This is not new ideas. The states, so-called self-insured. You look in behind the way, in behind, they're not actually self-insuring, but that's the scam they tell people. But moving here, the five points that they go through are just quickly on the first ends of the paragraph. First, Indonesian Financial Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati told the U.S. press on July 15th that capping Russian oil prices won't solve the world's energy problem. And this is the same answer to why green devices won't work. It doesn't solve the energy problem that we, as modern, if you will, people need certain things that if we're going to expect us to have a standard of living that is better than the cave dwellers. The second, some observers suggested the Russia could take strong measures to cut its oil production, thus creating an artificial shortage. And this is, again, exactly what they can do. And then you saw it's not even an unknown. Saudi Arabia just did the same thing. We can do what we want here. it's our oil. There's no connection anymore. We're going to do now what protects us because we're tired of the bully in the world. Third, and this was interesting because this guy, the United States Secretary of Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, countering even what the World Bank system is talking about. He doesn't even agree this will work, which is kind of interesting all of itself. But he denounced the plan of price capping Russian oil at the Milken Institute's Middle East and African Summit early this month. According to him, the initiative is not only not feasible, but it's also the most ridiculous idea he has ever heard. Well, me too, folks. Are you listening to this? When Russia has their own capacity to go to people who want their oil, who's going to agree with the cap? When they need the energy, how is this even going to be possible? And I told you this a long time ago. When Russia found they could provide to the world that the world needs what they have, and they can make economy, they can make commerce between those nations, that their people will suffer terribly if they don't get something, the United States had no play. And this is this Mnuchin is where they come up with and talk about OPEC will not step up to help. Fourth, the group of those championing price capping is not big enough to overhaul the existing rules of global energy game. There are plenty of world players who are buying Moscow's crude regardless of the West's sweeping energy embargo. That was what I told you early on. Absolutely. Fifth, the G7 plan largely relies on prohibiting shipping and insurance companies from providing services to Russia, which is, when I saw that, that's exactly the Russia just has to make their own tanker fleet, self-insure, and that problem's done, workaround for Russia. And so these things are just not forward-thinking at all. They will create nothing more than the boomerang effect, and then you folks, the listeners, if you're anywhere with listening to me, likely are going to feel the effects. The increased cost, the destruction of your economy, your monetary system is going to be more affected. It's bringing us into a fiscal policy, which the emergencies of which are going to be such that you may be pressed to have to accept their offer coming into this new digital technocratic control. It's a really well laid out plan, and it's executed very well. These people are not to be, their actions right now, seriously, with the crickets, looking at the crickets, facing your inaction is impeccable at this point. So these five reasons why this boomerang effect is just not forward-thinking enough, where governments are just taking action. They have a plan, but they're not necessarily thinking well for their own people or those people they're attacking. And they blame Russia, but they're attacking the people that are supposed to be in league with it. And it's slowly coming out, but this is like us in the United States and the Kobe swindle. We still haven't figured that one out. Notwithstanding what was said behind the woodshed before it got started. And upon all that ability to freely speak, we have a judge coming down, finally in Ontario after all this time. Ontario judge rules supporting freedom protests online is not criminal. Oh, your freedom of speech, generally, without as long as you're within the limitations of, don't threaten to cause riot and all that stuff. Your freedom protest online is not criminal. Prosecutors tried to use a Facebook post as an evidence against an Ontario resident. Kanukistan, you're the closest, after Australia, the Australian government just took down their people. Australia, you're on the chopping block here as you're doing a bit, but you're not doing enough, it seems. As you can see after time, that a judge who's hopefully, in this case, hopefully he's not, doesn't look like he's been compromised, and says, it's just almost embarrassing. How would he say otherwise? That your free speech on Facebook, not being criminal, could be criminally charged. You can't say that. So this becomes one of these cases. You look very careful on how to make your case. It's an absurdity, what they're trying to do, and outing the system for trying to control it and justifying what the government does. And here the government's in a very powerful position, but there is a limit. And the judge says he is not to be convicted because of his political views, only criminal acts he committed, Judge Robert Wadden said on his ruling. This is of David Romluski, who was arrested on February 19th for refusing to comply with an order to leave an area close to the parliament. He was charged with obstructing police. The judge argued that the Facebook, and that's a problem I have in this article, is that the judge wouldn't argue here, although you find out that decisions are just opinions. It's not an argument the judge is laying out. But anyway, the judge argued that the Facebook post was supporting the protest was an encouraging shout not a criminal offense. The judge said that he understood the post would be available to his contacts and friends or visible to those who seek out his Facebook page. He went on to also quote, "There is no evidence before me that anyone who would be likely to see this post was actually at the Ottawa protest. There is no evidence that the accused made any attempt to bring his post to the attention of the protest leaders or anyone involved in the Ottawa occupation." Wadden added that the defendant was not a trucker. There was no evidence he brought any vehicle of any kind to Ottawa and no evidence of him supporting the truckers in any meaningful way. The protest was a pushback against COVID mandates and in support of civil liberties. Now, while this sounds like a win, did you understand and see? The judge adds all these attachments onto your freedom to speak. If you're a trucker at that time, you couldn't actually do this. If you brought a vehicle, you couldn't actually speak. If you talk to anybody, this is what's going on in the Twitter that actually ended. Interestingly, after, and I can't say it's a, you know, causation and coincidence type stuff, I sent, Elon Musk asked about whether or not there was a, he made a comment to someone parroting the ADL statement about the freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. And I said, this is inconsistent, antithetical to the public square, Elon Musk saying that, freedom of reach. And it's also in excess of the limitations of the prohibitions of the freedom of speech, which is like, you don't cause riots and call for the killing of anybody, that kind of thing. You know, within 2 days, there was a poll that said, is amnesty going to come out? Is amnesty available to those on Twitter that were taken down that didn't violate the law? Well, that's interesting. No one looked at the law since before. But here is, you have a law, but this judge puts on more burden, millstones around the freedom to speak beyond the limitation. So while a protester may not hit criminally, they are loading the record with all these millstones against free speech. Now, I want people to understand that and be cautious of. But you can't be charged with a crime when you don't commit one. What's an interesting case? I mean, why would it even go to the court? But here, the lunacy, the government believes you should. And then I want to offer something else. This is criminal. What about, as we hear, civil forfeiture? This is sort of what happened with the Trudeau going against the bank accounts. We've got a long way to go as people, I don't care what country you're in, to stop this oppressive occupation of government itself now. So the freedom to speak is available, and a pretty fascinating and terrific idea. Even the paralyzed patients now can connect to iPhone, to their brains, to type messages using thoughts alone. And so we can extend that free speech, as long as it's not criminal, I guess, to even the paralyzed. But this creates another thing. I think this is great technology. Again, you always try to help those in need, right? That's the way you come in. And then you can expand the process. So this had me thinking a different way here. Paralyzed patients can now connect iPhones to their brains. In the novel brain-computer interface developed by the New York-based company called Synchron, was just used to help paralyzed patients send messages using their Apple device for the very first time. Now think about that. Isn't that cool? Really, isn't that a cool thing? It's a massive step up in an industry that was increasingly reported progress, which suggests that interfacing our minds with consumer devices could happen a lot sooner than some of us had bargained for. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Now let's look at the negative side of that one. Yeah, it helps paralyzed people to communicate through an iPhone. That's just great. Just fantastic. But let's go down the road. Don't look at the end of my finger. Let's look at where that points and see what's over there. The Synchron interface, however, is not implanted. And the novel part of this is not implanted directly into the brain, which causes all kinds of trouble. You can read about it here, which I have another reason to read. You find out where the technology limitations are, what's going on. But you realize they're getting closer to the point they're not going to have the connections at all. They now go through vein blood vessels instead of getting to the nerves. And this makes it a lot more quick to get at it, a lot and more inexpensive to make the connection. You still have to prepare the critter. You still have to prepare the insect to make the connection to the technocratic condition. But I want to point out they're moving it slowly outward to get the ability for you to communicate through your iPhone. It's amazing. This is a much less invasive and safer procedure by going into the blood vessels instead of the neural tissue, which I don't know, the blood vessels are going to be blocked by rubbery stuff, isn't it, anyway? After you get some of all the injected, I guess this is only going to be for those that are not jabbed, I suppose, maybe. What do you think? This is a much less invasive, safer procedure, and it makes it much more affordable. The Synchron implants, which have a mesh-like design, are about the size of a AAA battery and are meant to be permanent, and 4 patients have been using them for more than a year with no adverse effects reported thus far. The downside is the device is not as capable of reading complex waveforms, but it's good enough, they say here, and I say, I'll add, yet. And this is where we're going. Pretty cool technology. Couldn't have supported it more for the purpose, but you realize your thoughts are now going to be accessible at some point, and you don't need a complex waveforms in order for them to communicate. And so this brings on the idea, well, I can get on the internet and the Facebook, I do it just through my thoughts. I mean, now do we have thought crimes coming? We're talking it may not be criminal, but they didn't mention about that. Wasn't a civil case that they sued him on. And that may be around the corner as well, as we go civil forfeiture and all this other thing is already on the books and being used widely. So the paralyzed people have access to their iPhone, but you know how this world is going. The Facebook was a use, they tried to use it as evidence. It just happened to be not criminal, but it was used as evidence that in this technocratic control, they bring even the paralyzed in. You can communicate through your iPhone. Where do you think that's going? I told you it's going back to the internet of battlefield of the internet of things. And I didn't get to a story I put in the broadcaster, but I'll talk about it again today. What happens when that government that you're sitting inside decides that you're not you're worthy? A banned WeChat users are forced to write handwritten note to get their accounts back. People banned from WeChat are blocked from participating in major parts of Chinese life. Pivot to China, folks. As I suggested, here it is now. We see the government can ban you from your connection. And so even the paralyzed who have right ability now to go through their mind to through an iPhone, their accounts could be banned if you don't hold to the party line. That's the part I started getting back into, this digital world and how easy it is to cut you off. And it's gone. It's just not there no more and not there for you. And someone makes that decision. Some bureaucrat makes that decision based on all these non-governmental conditions and based in fraud, essentially. And then the narrative run with, they create the enemy, and then the government's going to solve it, just like that article I ran through the list of the analysts, and it's the same process. So if you're banned, then you luckily know that they can tell us they're going to ban you, but even the paralyzed will be able to communicate back to apologize for not holding the party line and the reverence, and sufficient reverence to Gaia in the green religion and any social control that they want to put on or any political control they want to put on. And then moving into, okay, so that's the government being able to cut you out. Well, what happens if you get cut out altogether? Even the paralyzed that can speak through iPhone are not going to do it, where a third party that you have to go through, as you hear coming, the Instagram glitch suspends millions of accounts. A huge number of users were randomly suspended from social media platforms. Again, you know the theme is, why are we using these technologies that trap us? Why do we consent to them? Why do we agree we've got them? Why do we keep engaging at the level? It takes a lot more energy right now and a lot more work. Why aren't we stepping back into the Stone Age, if you will, and literally, and I appreciate a couple of you who do, write letters with ink and pen. Now, I'm not going to advocate you want to do that very long when you get heavy into something with a communication. You probably want to get to digital technology to be able to make your letters a lot quicker and print them out, but why don't we start showing that we're not capable? Why don't we start showing stepping back and not allowing ourselves to be drug into this thing that are controlled from the outside, not only the government, which is third party to you anyway, but also third parties to that, the corporations that are set up in the governments that just randomly suspend your accounts. And it's done, folks. You just don't have access. I don't care if you're someone's paralyzed who has a connection to your brain and can communicate through your iPhone. You're not going to get through your life. Societal life is going to be ended where there's these glitches in the matrix. And these glitches aren't the fact of a problem that we can avoid. This matrix is the one you're not avoiding because you're all tied in. And you haven't stopped. There's no, you've made no alternative. What I've been advocating for a long, long, long time. You've got to have a parallel track to be working. That parallel track has to be a place where they can't really get at you. You're not the person, so-called, that they can do that to. And now, the presumption of innocence is not ours. We have to insist on it by the status we suggest back and then have them show we're not. Just like I suggested to you, if I'm healthy and I'm presumed healthy, then you can have a suspicion, but you still have to go through due process, Mr. or Mrs. Public Health Official. And where you didn't, there's remedy, supposedly, in law. I say supposedly because no one went and done it. I totally explained what it should be. It's even in laws. If you go and you read, you'll find one remedy. There's a couple of others, but relative to officials that don't follow the law. And we're not doing that. And so when we don't do that, the government is presumed right and keeps moving. And they're bold enough, as you see in San Francisco. Well, the cops, we're just going to say that, no, we need these robots to kill people. Forget that anybody, there's presumption of innocence at all. This guy, someone's killing people, they deserve to die. And I know at least one condition where everyone's supposed to have a defense, no matter what they did. A mental incapacity could be a defense. Maybe not free because you did it, but it's not a death sentence either. And so, I don't know where we go with this kind of stuff. I don't like hearing about it, but maybe there's a mental imposition being made. Maybe these jabs are going to cause a lot more of that. Maybe this is a setup. This is a setup to anticipate some of these things. And I know, again, anticipating is important. Again, don't look at the end of my finger. Look at where I'm pointing and then go figure out if that's going to be important to you and whether or not you have a skill to pull it off and stop it or at least get in its way until others can see it. The imposition of this digital world, the communication system that's coming through that now even paralyzed people may be able to do, and eventually it's coming, I think, the technology will be that everybody, through their digital phones here, that they're communicating directly with the brain. They don't need, and they're telling you, they don't need for permission and consent or writing a letter of apology. They don't need your higher functions. Understand that. And so where does that come from? And what is WeChat but this sophisticated social networking for social control and behavioral control? And it's, I told you, I've been telling you the digital ID tech and the coins and such are going to be governmental controlled situations that a government is now implementing and enforced by a third party. That Nigeria will be a testing ground for Microsoft's digital ID tech. Microsoft will partner with Nigeria in the Nigerian Digital Identification and Development, ID4D, project in the areas of data protection and capacity development. Capacity is any enemy of yours' capacity over you. That's what that is. And data protection is getting the ability to get that data to them. Because as you'll notice, as I've told you, there's no way that the system, this battlefield Internet of Things, is safe from hacking, whether it's software level or hardware level. And monkeys are really good at experimenting. I mean, they love to go in and meddle with things. And I did it when I was a youngin', and then we were put in a pilot program for running on computers. And that's the first thing we started doing. What is this thing? It's this interesting little maze, virtual in your mind, connections that you, by address, you can seek out. And the first thing we started doing after we learned how to do the entries and signing in, and we started looking around the database. Until one day, we got an administrator said, you don't want to go over there. We went so far in, he said, that's not permissible. And at the time, we were respectful of other people's property, and that's how he addressed us. It's through our teletypes now, not a monitor. said, this is a scientist's database, and you don't have permission to go there, and you shouldn't, because you're going to ruin a lot of people's work. And that was reasonable to us, and so we backed out. But they let us go in. They were watching as we walked in. That was part of the, we were the rats in the maze. They were teaching us how to access databases, how to do the computing of the world for the students. We were in a pilot program to prove whether or not it was efficacious, and they found out it was. But the first thing we did was to hack the system. What is this thing? No evil intent. What is this new technology? And so, that's, and then you have the ones that do the evil intent. And those are a little bit more trouble for us. But Microsoft is another evil intent. Their product is just one big hackable malware. But they're dealing with combining with a Nigerian country as a partner to bring on this digital ID, which ends up being everything you've heard relative to cryptocurrencies, relative to your health passport, relative to your driver's license, what real ID starts to telegraph to us in the United States, and monitoring all this stuff. And they admit to this in saying the data protection that it is a problem. We're back to the "and it's gone" thing. You put your life in that and you don't have an alternative, you're done. And that's not just having just the cash. You have to have a network of people that are still utilizing this alternative. So we have a lot of work to build quickly, hold on to this alternative that's being transformed into, as we see now in the United States, I told you it was coming, here it is. And they call it this proof of concept project. It's not. They're about to implement this. New York Fed, folks, announces test of digital dollar with major banks. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York and major banks will launch a 3-month test of a digital dollar in hopes of studying its feasibility. They already know what the feasibility is, but they can't. It's not feasible against the crypto side. And they're going to do what I've been telling you. We're going to see it. There's going to be a constraint on the crypto side, the private crypto, because you're dealing with exchanges and third parties. That's how they're going to go at you. So I'm not saying crypto's bad. You're going to have to privatize it. I've been saying this all along. It's going to absolutely have to be privatized. Then you have to figure out how to unprivatize it when you go use it in the world with people around. And that hasn't quite been worked out. Everyone's been working with the Wild West nature of this, and you're seeing how that's being collapsed. The banks, the Fed Bank of New York now is going to test the feasibility. They don't just feasibility this. They've already got the system that's going to start moving in that direction. And the initiative was announced by the regional Federal Reserve Bank and nearly a dozen financial institutions on Tuesday. A news release referred to the experiment as a proof of concept project in which the banks will work with the Fed's New York Innovation Center to simulate digital money representing the deposits of their own customers and settle them through simulated Fed reserves on a distributed ledger. Remember this term about innovation. This is sustainable development. Innovation centers, innovation zones. I told you this is just a term. You just read these words, you know exactly where they're coming from. And it's not even a question to me anymore. And it's not something I disregard. This is a very important word. So, I see them now. They're doing sustainable development. No, this is coming to transform your life, and it's in play. The project, they call it a project, will also test the feasibility of the programmable digital money. Did you hear that? The programmable digital money design that is potentially extensible to other digital assets, as well as the viability of the proposed system within existing laws and regulations. You don't think that's difficult. Right, so this is not just an experiment. This is really locking it in. The news comes as cryptocurrency and blockchain technology has exploded to prominence financial world, which I said they did in order to bring it in prominence and get you every soften up the targets to get used to it. While the flagship cryptocurrency Bitcoin peaked a year ago and has since been a precipitous decline, the technology behind such tokens has attracted interest from not only the private financial institutions, but also central banks across the globe. I can read. This is exactly the setup. I told you that it's happening. Now the New York Fed is actually putting it in play. How fast, folks? As I was telling you, it's coming at warp speed. Maybe faster than the speed of an electron. Is that faster than warp speed? I guess we have to find a black hole or some time warp field in order to go quicker. Well, maybe they found one. I don't know. But here it is. The Fed now, it's in your country. There, you think it's Nigeria and Microsoft? No, they're not even talking about Microsoft here. I don't know who's behind the scenes on the third part. But remember, what they do, this is their institutional interbanking money, if you will. That's what they're starting here. So they still haven't moved out into where the Fed becomes your trustee in a trust relationship for your Fed coin, where that's your WeChat. It'll be FedChat. And it's gone. That's all I can tell you. This is not cool. A lot of people know that. I'm saying there's action on the ground that starts to have to happen right now. A pivotal moment. He just talked about the private companies. And I've been telling you about third party, look at the third party problem. The pivotal moment, JP Morgan completes first DeFi trade on public blockchain, despite Damien Jemmons' infamous condensation of crypto, which I told you was all a lie. It's all set up. People are scammers. They're not wanting you to know this coming. The condensation of crypto banking giant JP Morgan just executed its first ever cross-border transaction using decentralized finance or DeFi on a public blockchain. I don't know if I want to send more. The institutional bankers, not bankers, the people who destroyed you in 2008, your financial system, and went to toxic debt, they're in play, as I told you they were. And they are now into decentralized crypto assets, essentially. And they are part of this intermeshing that's going on. And so here, this was a couple weeks ago, this story. So this is a big deal that, again, pivotal moment here, no doubt. Again, pivotal. Pivot to China. It's all the same type of connotation of what they're doing and the transformation that's going on as the New York Fed is moving a system, an interagency system, interbank system into place that is going to then translate out, essentially. And the third-party so-called bankers here are involved already. It's not even... How can the New York Fed be experimenting when the JP Morgan, as a company, has already put investment into get themselves right up to where they need to be? CBD surveillance, how did we get here? How did COVID become the path to global financial surveillance? Global now. We see this whole thing is a setup. It was a setup to a takedown. No one saw it. Well, no one. But a lot of people didn't see it. They're not quite getting it. They're behind the game, behind the eight ball. If they see it, they're just standing there with deer in the headlights. The answers aren't going to be coming so simple. And I don't see many people talking about more than just passing information around about how the next shiny thing comes up to expose as they keep moving this thing along. Again, they're not doing all this just because they think it's a cute experiment in some lab. Unless you're the lab rat. To anyone who pays attention to these trends, it seems evident that the central bank digital currency, CBDC, will be that new system. And boy, isn't this a couple years late. But at any rate, everyone's observing it now, and I'm thankful for it, to tell you the truth, but I don't see action more than observation. And do we need to move further over into what we can do? I offer suggestions of every broadcast on different subject matters because it's such a vast thing to deal with. I'm hoping the skills are out there. I know that they are. It's just a matter of getting people to focus their skills on to help others to bring us to action in the proper ways, even just to be a roadblock for the time being again, and offering alternatives for people because, well, you know, it took a long time even like for the COVID swindle. There's no alternative, and all the alternatives were being denounced by the government, and if you have your faith in those institutions, as you heard the very first analyst talking about relative to the Russia problem, if you have those faith in those institutions, you're going to be way behind the eight ball, big time, if you have any, first of all. Even if you have a questionable one, it's still going to slow you up. Again, you got to see it coming on the horizon. You can't have a question here. Every indication is that the CBDC's arrival is imminent. On Tuesday, several global banks announced a partnership with the New York Fed Reserve to pilot digital dollars. Given the ubiquity of the credit and debit cards, payments apps, and other online payment systems, digital money has been bound to happen for some time. That's the reason why it was planned that way. The risk isn't the electronic part. That's inevitable. It's the fact that the central bank will oversee the digital currency. And remember, I said programmable. They can program this or that about your digits. And this is what this article touches on there. See, he's seeing it too. This author's seeing it too. But from my vantage point, he writes, it's impossible to overstate the risk presented by CBDC. Whether it's a utopian vision based on good intentions or a sinister plot to crush our sovereignty, the result may be the same. Control. A central bank digital currency has all the downsides of fiat money, plus the added layers of surveillance and programmability overseen by the state. That's the state part. Then you got the third party. Then you got the hackers. Then you got the system itself. And so, you go ahead, go from fiat to this stuff. Then you have the trust relationship, which you have no control over. And I can tell you as a miner, as a mineral estate grantee, being in a position as a beneficiary in that trust and the disposal of that mining claim that we locate under law, there is no action that we can take yet against the trustee. And if I can take that as an example, you don't want to live here. I've devoted almost 20 years of my life to protect a mining claim against this very condition that is going to be in your fiat digital system. The difference is the money is in the bank for a miner, literally in the bank, the gold. And the government trust agent will interfere with that. If they'll do it to us, they're going to do it to you. And they can do it much quicker with a digital system. This article goes through and explains a lot of this. If you haven't heard it before, I wanted to offer this to you. The government is sitting there to be your oppressor. You've got to see how not to engage, how not to agree, what to do to stay outside of this condition. I don't know what to say. People that see it, you're not going to want, some of you that are of the same mind, you already know you're not going to want to do it. I'm saying it's going to be more than just us saying no. They're making it very, very difficult. And it gets foretold, if you don't have the number of his name or the account, the mark of the beast, you don't have access. And that's going to be a will of a very strong moral people to stop. And I don't know really how it works out. I don't see much mindset quite yet. Yes, there's a little bit of prepper this and a little bit of, getting ready closer and a little bit of some of the outreach. But it's going to take a whole lot more. And this thing's moving a lot quicker. So I'm not so sure how this works out. An interesting article to identify all this for us. That the government will lead with certain things and narratives, and we believe in those institutions, and we really shouldn't. And I tried to explain. I didn't try. I did explain how to not become vulnerable to that. And yet we hear today, as most people are now starting to see some of these things, it went through a meme, I suppose, through the Twitter sphere, the story of the FDA is telling people not to take ivermectin for COVID-19 was just a recommendation. And somebody said, what do you mean, this is just a recommendation? This is just a recommendation? What have I been telling you? But I also want to point out something about this. The FDA says telling people to not take the ivermectin for COVID-19 was just a recommendation. It didn't tell anybody. It didn't tell people not to take as an order. And what you have to listen very carefully for was these subtle words. And I know people don't like this tediousy about this, but this is how you can tell who you're dealing with. What they were actually saying back when, and I just found a link that was in the middle of the time period. This thing started to come up around March of 2021. They were talking like this all that rest of that year. About August 24, there's an article here, stop using ivermectin veterinary drug to treat COVID-19, FDA urges. So what you had to listen very carefully for was there was nothing set in stone. Nothing was mandatory from the federal side. It was urging, suggestion, guidance. I spoke about all of this. It's even in the rules that way. They weren't telling anybody not to. They were urging you not to. Then in this particular case with the veterinary medicine, that was maybe more true because the way they made that was the horse medicine as a dewormer, it may not have been powerful enough as you need it. And so there's a problem with application here as well. And so if you look very carefully, they were specific. Don't use that dewormer. They didn't say don't use a proper dosage if you could figure out what it was. And so I want to make particularity here. We can give too much to these institutions. And saying that, having the question, what do you mean they only say now they recommend it, is an admission of ignorance. Yeah, I said it. We're ignorant. And it's also not being observant. And this is, I'm disappointed a bit because I was talking about how to do different, how to be better than that. And not have this question today that takes up the Twitter sphere, which everyone says, trying to make a point. Now they think it's something they're pointing out. Well, they are now for those that are naive, I suppose. And I know I'm kind of pressing on some people that listen to me, maybe that, noticed that too and maybe did it yourself. we had other direction to take, and it shouldn't be a question that it was a recommendation. In fact, I responded to one of them. I guess I could respond over and over, which I kind of do a little bit when I see people. I really appreciate the information they have. I wish they would pick up this narrative. Is it a narrative? No, it's the objective basis. It's going to the law. It's saying we had a better way not to be ignorant. We had a way not to be surprised or not to be astounded or not to point out what's the obvious and look at, oh, now we're right. We were right because it is only a they say it was only a recommendation. See, that shouldn't have been a question before. And yet, look at, even though all were statements about that, the condition's continuing and it's coming back with it's going to come back with a vengeance. But I make this comment back to someone who points out, what do you mean it's a recommendation? Of course it's only a recommendation, I write. Read your local communicable disease law to prove it. Yeah, I made that statement, folks. You've heard me, and those of you that listen any time, is that true? You could go to your local communicable disease law and see that the obligation was on the local official to do certain things. That the local official has the duty to do the thing, the CDC does not. As I mentioned, the IHR, the 2005 International Agreement for this Health, there was a reservation. The federal government, District Court of Columbia government said, we can't make this discussion, we can't make a treaty without the reservation that says our states determine health code, they will decide. So, read your local communicable disease law to prove it, I say. And yes, he was asking about judicial trials for all this. Yes, judicial trials. But another problem pops up as I write, but first you'll have to replace the complicit Bar Association, unduly influenced judiciary that created its own fraud and usurpation of lawful emergency power. And this now speaks to the Tennessee case problem. You have a bunch of layers of obstruction of justice going on. It's in the judiciary itself. Objectively so. It's not my opinion. They did it. They did it themselves. So we have a problem as a society. We need accountability, but we've allowed the system to be unaccountable for such a long time, and they proved that it's going to maintain that way with the Comey swindle, and you, the listener and the population generally, not the listener specifically, the population generally did not speak as a population, neither did it speak in for the individual themselves, each one of themselves, which was denied due process. They were denied the law. They denied themselves their only organic establishment that they, even those who profess to say they have rights, everybody who professes to say rights but didn't work on enforcing those rights, misses the point, I guess I should say here. And as we miss the point as a society, these folks that are usurping, transforming your society, usurped all law, the enemies from within, domestic and foreign, are taking advantage of our improper, well, our ignorance and our cluelessness to certain things and our improper responses. And yes, they're there. People want to just say you can talk. No, you can't. And if you don't, it's going to get a lot more wild, and I don't know that we're going to survive that. Lincoln proved that we couldn't, so I'm not sure that helps us. But moving on, notwithstanding all this bad advice we get, I wanted to just bring this back, a dose of hope. How to detox after mRNA, which are not preventatives or controls, which are gene therapies, admittedly so. And all this stuff, that if you got a jab, I told you, I'm not going to judge you. I'm sad to hear you did it. I'm sad to hear whatever the excuse might be. But this is us not looking forward and saying, wait a minute, there were certain things that needed to be done, and we abandoned our own system for the true trust in that institution. At one level, okay, I get that, but that's also another, not an excuse. Now we have a problem. Literally, people are dying. Oh, there's a new movie, it died suddenly. Oh, every one of those folks, none of them enjoyed the law, and none of them enjoyed due process. And yet we focus on the died suddenly. I'd rather have us say, wait, those folks are just wronged. How did that, I don't care what their consequence was. How do we get there? And what you're going to have to do is go back to the beginning, which is where the local officials did nothing they were supposed to do. And everything, well, to the point of allowing this non-preventing, non-controlling sub-treatment was conditioned by the fact that they didn't follow law. No one held them to it. So those of you that have jab, there are things you can do. I hope I've talked about it myself. Some of this article talks about information behind a paywall that they're presenting. The information that they're showing here is the things some of the things I talked about. And I just want to let you know, I'm doing an independent study at the time. And people, it's like we were all doing a study to find that their information was consistent with what I was finding, why I even told you about that stuff. And so there's things you might try. Everyone's different. As you see, the myriad different problems that are affecting people in different ways. It's going after a latent comorbidity, something you didn't even know may have been in your body that was failing. This thing tends to go after it, likely because if you're going after your circulation and your body needs to have the blood circulation to clean itself out, remove toxins, have organisms come and take out the bad things, that's not flowing so well. That's going to cause that problem to quicken in you. So detox from the mRNAs, I want to offer this for you because those of you that didn't trusted your institution a little bit too much, did maybe get the jab, you've got, I don't know what kind of damage. We can only hope that there's something out there to help you, and I would say focus in on it. What I'm finding interesting, though, is there's a few different things, heart attack, immunological deficiencies, and diabetes. There was one other thing that slipped my mind. They all seem to be consistent together. And so maybe we look at that. There's underlying body systems that, interestingly, these suggestions may help you. Not just for mRNA, but just to tone up, get your system running back again. Try to get it back into functioning more correctly. As gene therapies now come on the market, we move this thing that faith in the government institutions, and we have the balance between how do you help people that need the help, like paralyzed people can communicate through their iPhones. How amazing is that? To actual genetic, we find genetic diseases that bring on problems that need to be fixed, and yet we see inside the stories what they are and how they become to prominence, but that they're very specific and they're very expensive. And that's part of the thing, what happened here with the Covey swindle. They brought a brand new supposed therapy, which couldn't. They didn't tell anybody that, although you can see it in all the paperwork. It was novel. It was invented. It wasn't natural. So we saw that's where the fraud part starts. But the FDA approves a $3.5 million Hemgenix gene therapy drug. It's the most expensive drug in the world, and it has been approved by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Estimated a cost of $3.5 million for a single dose. And what the importance of this is that people with hemophilia B, which is a genetic disorder caused by prolonged and heavy bleeding, most symptomatic hemophilia B patients are men. The condition is present in about 1 in every 40,000 people. Only 15% of the people with hemophilia and hemophilia B without treatment. It's a lifelong condition. You have to get repeated treatments. This treatment said to eliminate all repeated treatments, but it's a gene therapy. Very specific, a targetable gene defect. Coronavirus and influenza are not that defect. First, I can just tell you that, but let me read at the bottom. Existing gene therapies have a track record of being especially expensive. Well, look what the price of the Covey swindle boosters now jumped over 100, 130, 140. Who's to stop it now? But it's a gene therapy. It's supposed to be tied to a specific gene, findable gene defect. And these gene therapies are expensive. The therapy that produces a hemoglobin component costs about $2.8 million. It's called Zynteglo, Zolgensma. I guess they can start at the end of the alphabet, which treats spinal muscle atrophy. Was introduced with a price point of $2.1 million. I don't know how they price these out. I suppose it's the end result, the end market. But $3.5 million for a gene therapy, and they explain in this notice, it's very specific to what it does. General coronavirus or seasonal influenza is not that specific thing that a gene therapy could do, even if it was applicable, which we find it can't be, and it's not. Let's not forget, the common cold is the common cold. It's not something subject to vaccine. The influenza, typically, is not subject to vaccine. It's a seasonal thing. And this is why you saw all the special words of condition to say it was a novel outbreak, whatever they wanted to say, to try and say this was new. Because if they moved it on over, like they took the influenza numbers and they attached to it, if they said it was influenza, they couldn't use a vaccine therapy on it at all. There's no stopping. There's no, it has no effectiveness relative to the reoccurrence in societies. So we trust in these institutions to do these things. Some of this is helpful. I don't know where you get $3.5 million to solve that, but maybe insurance companies. And this is the other thing that the government protects. Remember, limited liability, the government makes policies to stop, to limit the hemorrhaging of the insurance companies and all this type of thing. But the pharmaceuticals are sitting there to be able to look and plausibly price their thing and go after them. And I'm noticing some big disparagements between if you have insurance or not. And when you don't, interestingly, your charges are a lot less. And so there's a big scam going on, Obamacare, partly of that. Remember, that was all about that too, but not to go there, but move back into your digital life and how they control it. And if you don't do quite what you're told, if you're a hemophiliac, even if you have $3.5 million, you're likely not going to get that medicine because you're not worthy anymore. And because the future is going to be in a system of digital control, moving back into this crypto condition and showing you the global connection. We're talking about the New York Bank working around the world and globally. UK lawmakers vote to recognize crypto as regulated financial instruments. What they have to get rid of and control, more specifically and tightly, is the wild digital assets. As I told you they were going to do, well, now it's spread over to the UK. The lower house of parliament voted in favor of adding crypto to the scope of activities to be regulated via the proposed Financial Services and Markets Bill, which already seek to extend payments rules to stable coins. So this is just a wave going right across. This didn't happen without a plan, that they had a direction they're going. It's just not a thought in someone's brain. Some legislator woke up, oh, I've got to do this. No, this was all handed to them by some attorney advocating the interest of the party behind them, whether it is the government or a private third party or a corporation or whatever. Won't read any more. This is just telling you what I've been telling you. Now it's moved into UK. These are all crypto things are going to be regulated. They're in the markets. These are not your private, like if a gold, as a miner, take gold out of the bank, the dirt, pull it out and hand it to someone, that's property. This is none of that. Property in the gold is granted to someone for a valuable consideration in the trade, in the deal. And that's a property. That's not dealing with a third-party fiat system. And then they move again, as you heard from the other statement, they move again and translate that out even to a worse system, completely controllable. And so, it goes to the Ukraine, UK, United Kingdom, and they're doing, within weeks here, not even months now since I've been saying it's on the roll. British government also, as you see this rolling out, and I told you there was going to be control. You're watching governments in Indonesia and such have bringing control over the internet to watch it, to surveil it, to keep track of it, because they have to keep track of you. And they have to keep track of what's going on in order, to be your social credit, whether or not you're worthy, whether or not they can say how much you're going to get, what they're going to program your digital currency to. Remember, that's what's going on too. Programmable currency. Remember, your smart meters did that as well. Your use was programmable and it was billable by the second. And then they were taking waveforms off of your use in order to see if they can, and they can do algorithms that will and analyze what you're doing. They know certain values are being used by machines inside your home. Your light bulb has certain current, certain characteristics. They just analyze. They know exactly what you're doing in your house. They also know if it's part of the switching, how far away it is, where you are in your house. It's pretty insidious. It's cool, but it's insidious. But here we are. The United Kingdom is bringing it in, the control on everybody, as New York Fed goes global with inter-system bank, cross-border, as they keep telling us. I'm thinking the cross-border is the cross between, well, it requires your consent. They go into your privacy. You're allowing the cross-border immigration into your life. The United Kingdom National Cyber Security Center, the government agency that leads the country's cybersecurity mission, is now scanning all internet-exposed devices hosted in the UK for vulnerabilities. First point, inside the UK. That's their bubble of control. They're doing internet exposed. It's the battlefield internet of things I talked about. The Pentagon's involved in. All these countries are involved. This is telling you right up front, your internet of things system is a big governmental control grid. It's the matrix, if no doubt. And again, there are people that I guess could be, you know, moving around and doing their thing, but you just watch the controls on all that, like the currency, how you're going to make even your cryptocurrency wallet private, because that's the other consideration on this. I don't know if we're going to, I guess we'll get to it here soon. The consideration would be that they can do third-party regulation. They can't do private regulation. You got to keep track of where you are relative to them and keep your stuff private. If they're going to investigate an entire internet matrix and your stuff sits on there or transfers through it, they're going to see. And so I don't know how we get into, you know, Internet 2.0, 3.0, whatever the heck it is that keeps the things private. I don't know how we get there, but we're seeing the British government scanning all internet devices hosted in UK. Again, Google, the Nest, all this stuff. Amazon, the Alexa, which is going down the tube somehow, but these communication devices, everything that goes through the internet is going to be scrutinizable to some extent, and likely enough so. So here's the notice. As UK does that, new Europol rules expand police powers, reduce rights protections, and allow vast data collection. So as they're scanning for all this, they're now showing us that they have been scanning. They're going to be scanning. They're going to give them the policy to be able to scan for all this. You're not going to be separate and just get away with anything. Everything you do is going to be questionable. You're going to be everything you do is suspicious. You have no right of innocence here. But they allow the collection of data on people that aren't even suspected a crime is the subtag here. I don't know what else I have to say. This is the whole thing. Your life, it doesn't matter. Your crime is irrelevant. You're not presumed innocent. Your whole life is under scrutiny. Your actions are conditioned by programmable money to you. Visitors to the EU, so now the gobbling up information, the Europol policy to grab information and collect it and keep it and use it against everybody, like every nation will be. This is not even pointing this out to one place. But the visitors to the EU will soon have to give up their fingerprint and have their photo taken. I'm not really so sure that's even not been a thing. We kind of agreed to that. I don't know why we have agreed to that. If we're innocent. The United States mentality used to be you don't do that to anybody here in the United States. Unless you see I've got a record in the public, you don't have a right really as a nation to suspect me, even though you're a nation. I'm a guest, and I'm a good guest until you can show otherwise. And so there was a better diplomacy there. But this is all changing. Visitors to the EU will now be part of all that big Europol collection, big vacuum cleaner of data, which is what? Then saved through the 5 or 12 or 20 eyes that are all out there and goes back through. And the subtag here is privacy concerns. Yeah, you think? The point is that if you want to go traveling now, it's all coming down to this EU connection and this digital ID that's being developed everywhere. The passport stamping system. The new system is the entry-exit system. It will replace the passport stamping system. The system is aimed at registering visitors from non-EU countries like the U.S. and U.K. The U.S. has been a similar program in place since 2004, collecting biometric information from foreign visitors. Exactly. This is not about national security whatsoever. This is about building up the databases for everyone who's moving around and was supposed to be innocent, and it's not. Now, the United States can't do it to itself. And so they made this interconnection that says, okay, we're just going to get around that. So they hacked the system. They hacked their own legal system. Now, the same thing in what happened in the UK, the oppressor UK over India. Well, India is going to, it's the same model. India's government can now surveil internet connections in real time. At the same time, the government is trying to ban VPN use. The same thing, ban cryptocurrency. They try to ban the use. Now, I have lots of people that will say, well, we can get around that, get around it. Well, you might, until you get caught. And maybe forever, but well, you're going to be a limited class of people. The Indian government can monitor online activity of anyone using the internet provider, ISP, based in India. Since the 2008 Mumbai terrorist attack, again, the same thing, our 9/11, New Delhi has increased its online surveillance. It's just been building into the system, real time. If we had a thought, if we'd ever thought it was going on, if you think anything is going on, is not being surveilled and not going to be surveilled. We have the evidence here of the so-called law enforcement countries, agencies in the United States already doing it. NSA, all national security nonsense statements. And then we have this mysterious company with government ties plays a key internet role. So here we go back to the third party interference. The information goes from the government. If you thought it was going to be secure and you could trust that institution, well, they're using third parties to do all this. And we saw that when they did the public-private partnerships, the big fascist global gulag. An offshore company that is trusted with major web browsers and other tech companies to vouch for the legitimacy of websites has connections to contractors for U.S. intelligence agencies and law enforcement, according to security researchers, documents, and interviews. Google's Chrome, Apple Safari, nonprofit Firefox, and others allow the company TrustCore Systems to act as what's known as a root certificate authority and powerful spot in the internet's infrastructure that guarantees websites are not fake, guiding users to them seamlessly until your website or your address is said to be not certifiable. See, this is the point of failure that we built ourselves into. But this is a third-party company having the Panamanian records, if you're in the Panama Papers, yes, is over and over. The Panamanian, they're not part of that necessarily. What I'm saying is that these are nested corporations that are outside the jurisdictions of the jurisdictions they have controls over. The company's Panamanian registry records show that it has been identical slate of officers, agents, and partners as a spyware maker identified this year as an affiliate of the Arizona-based Packet Forensics, which public contract records and control company documents show has sold communication interception services to United States government agencies for more than a decade. TrustCore. You can't. But there we go. Right inside the system I've been telling you is there to be controlling us and surveilling us and third-party problems. And this third-party problems comes with, if you look in your phone, I hope people do read their policies. You should be shaking your head and maybe not using your phones after you did do so. But if you look inside your phones and all the privacy policies, they're not private. There's slick little words they use, but it's not private. This is the extension of the control. We're all consenting into that. And then behind the scenes, the government's using partnerships, third-party partnerships, in order to have the control switching. So they get information. What I'm saying is that these corporations can be ordered to be used as kill switches. Which brings on these Five Eyes and 20 Eyes, whatever the heck it is, these companies that are all in, countries that are all in league with each other. A G20 promotes WHO standardized global health vaccine and digital health identity scheme. Now, understand this is not law, but this is where the government, even of the United States, is going. For those of you that think there's a free, being free in the United States means something, there's a standardized global vaccine passport. And I've explained to you that there can't really be a demand on the Americans, if you will, for local, until local law official, a public health official says that you are the public, a contagion, and you're not going to comply. That's probably the only time they can start locking you down. But if they're not willing at that point, it's not going to be a digital scheme, unless they clamp a monitor on you. And that's not going to be something you're going to hold in your hand, is it? So the way this ends up working, this is not, there's no force and effect. What it does do is telegraph your governments are going to work against you. They want this control structure. Leaders of the group, G20, have issued a joint declaration promoting a global standard of proof of vaccination for international travel and calling for the establishment of global digital health networks that to build on existing digital COVID-19 vaccine passport schemes. Existing schemes. Okay, this has been going on for quite a long time. We've heard it. The point is the G20s have got together. This is, again, an economic attack. and economic control. They're getting together to agree to move these things forward. This is our first notice that it's happening. Again, if we stay silent and we don't start really in mass talking about so-called representatives and explaining how the United States cannot, could not, it was illegal for the United States to agree to move into something like this, where anyone in the United States has not been shown, and even then there's a problem, but not been shown to be a part of a contagion, a principal contagion. There's no legitimate authority to agree to do a vaccine passport. There's not even, again, how does it prevent or treat? If I don't agree with the institution, and I just want to be, just not, I just want think I can walk around with a contagion, there is a power to put you away to do that. That's what the quarantine centers do. But that's after the last, when you're not going to be, you're not helping to prevent and control. That's their power. You're walking right into that. You're not going to be moving around as a presumptive infectious principal. That's contrary to American law. That's contrary to all communicable disease law. I offer this stuff so that you at least have a word in your mouth. When this starts coming down, you should actually be talking to the so-called representatives, the senators, who, the administration, telling them you guys are making crime right here. Stop it. And get enough of you sending stuff into the din, the noise of the peons in the country are starting to make a sound and letting them know that this is not going to happen. We can't let this get into the policy as you see. San Francisco, just a policy is going to allow the police, militarized police, to kill people. Where in a country that's supposed to have the presumption of innocence, and then, even if you're not innocent, you have a defense of being mentally incapacitated. It's not an would not be an execution warrant. And you're not supposed to have general warrants. So where are we with all our rights to actually move these things forward, to bring them in to the lower policy considerations of how the government operates? Is a failure of the people. Another thing here, the G20 cat out of the bag, the May 2023, not 2024, their objective for a digital health certificate. Again, an objective. This is giving us notice. And this is a neat article. It goes through. I don't necessarily like all the formatted text and stuff. It's kind of noisy to me. But you got to get kind of work through that and read through the information. A lot of good points in this article. The problem, and he makes the observation, the problem is actually bigger than most people think. And I have to agree, absolutely agree. Even if we see a lot of what's going on, we're not seeing this totality of destruction that's already happening and has been set up inside our own countries. That's why it's a bigger problem. But he also, this article also points out these digital health certificates are not law. Well, that's going to just be a matter of time. He goes through and explains what the statement was. And we can go through quickly here to read it. We support the work of the Intergovernmental Negotiating Body, in caps, INB, that will draft and negotiate a legally binding instrument that should contain both legally binding and non-legally binding elements to strengthen the pandemic PR and the working group on the International Health Regulation that will consider amendments to the International Health Regulation IHR 2005, mindful that the decision will be made by the World Health Assembly. This is a big handoff of sovereignty by the countries, but remember we talked about the IHR 2005, I mentioned it. There's that reservation. All you folks in the United States need to go use that, pull that out, and say, pursuant to that framework, the United States could not agree to this declaration. How's that, folks? Just on that first statement is what I get out of it. You need to pull it out. I've talked about all this. It's anticipating we would need it, I suppose. I guess I think as I'm thinking about it. But they talk about digital solutions. Cryptocurrency, and it's gone, and oh, your social credit, green QR code, red QR code, yeah. Or the non-digital solutions, including proof of vaccinations. I guess you have to have a piece of hard paper, or you got the mark in your arm, or whatever they're going to give you. Or you show symptoms of the gene therapy that you weren't supposed to get, because you didn't stop them in your due process rights and say, wait a minute, that's not a prevention treatment. You haven't even identified the infectious agent you keep presuming exists. That's not law. See how simple it is, I guess, folks. I get agitated a little bit thinking how simple this is, and none of us did that. Well, I'm saying those us that were then subject, that had to make that decision and didn't bring this forward. This is a serious threat. I'm not going to undermine the idea this is a serious threat. That the United States government agreed to this is a serious threat. I'm trying to show you at least a couple of points People can start leaving. If your mother's out there, if you think that this is a, that these, what you've seen in the last couple of years was a problem, maybe you should get involved. And as I think about it, thank you. At least one emailer is involving themselves relative to this and pointing out how, what the intention may be good, but the action by the Senate or the bills is not quite right. You're going to have to come and bring that clarity for the government. They don't know. They don't know what I know. They don't know exactly how to explain what I have that I've been explaining to people. I see no reflection in it in the representatives I see through Twitter either. Everyone ignores this stuff. And when they do that, they're going to set, this is set up for the takedown. I have to start thinking, though I don't really swing deep into it, I wonder if they're just agents. They're foreign agents. They talk nice. They talk like they're rights oriented, but they don't do anything that would stop it. Like the red wave. I mean, okay, you win the House. I mean, you're going to do anything? It seems nothing ever gets done. Repeatedly. So we acknowledge the importance of the shared technical standards and verification methods under the framework of the IHR 2005 to facilitate seamless international travel, interoperability, and recognizing digital solution and non-solutions, including a proof of passports. If it's seamless international travel, they can't make an imposition on an American who hasn't had a local official say they were an infectious principal. How they're going to fix that, I don't know. The United States does have some very unique things about it that we need to start stepping up and imposing upon these policy considerations by non-governmental organizations that are now taking the power and sovereignty because people inside the government that have the duties to protect us are not. It's a foreign and domestic enemies. The enemy from within is going to be the worst one. And this G20, the hypocrisy of it all, not looking at law, not looking at reality either, giving over to these suggestions, and understand all these global leaders are the global leaders made up by this very same system in order to foist this upon us. And the check and the balance that was supposed to be done that they're relying on is that the right people have the right to alter and abolish the government as they see fit, and they're not. They're not adjusting them, is how these people are doing this. But you see the stupidity of what goes on and how literally what reality has to comes up and starts to show going on eventually that there's a certain thing in the world that's reality and there's certain things that are not. The reality will win out. German energy company demolishes wind turbines to ramp up coal mining. Is that cool? Reality strikes back. We see President Joe Biden isn't the only world leader running his country into a dangerous energy crisis for millions of who will soon face a brutal winter. The true statement. The global leaders are running the nations into the problem. And the people are just responding to it as a consumer, not as a member of the society that they're going to protect themselves when a leader does this, so-called. Not following the proper course. But we see now energy company, coal miner, Garth Wheeler, operated by an energy company, RWE, announced that it has already demolished several wind turbines at a nearby wind farm with plans to demolish several more by next year. What is G20 saying? You need a carbon, it's a vaccine passport. It's attached to your carbon footprint. It's because of the COVID, the Great Reset. That's all this is together. We see now the reality is a German company takes out its windmills because they're not working. They couldn't do what we need. They can't produce the type of energy that you need, especially in the face of a global leader destruction where people are going to die because they don't have enough energy. Under the pressure, we're seeing the breaks. We're seeing the reality come true. They're moving wind farms out for the mineral under the ground. That's reality, folks. I hope that we start to see better reality. The G20 saying you need a vaccine passport to make it seamless is not recognizing either this reality, which is the same thing. They denounced carbon, remember? It's all the same thing. But reality says we need the carbon. We need to remove green. It's not green anyway, but that's another lie. But that doesn't matter. Fascinating, kind of neat thing to watch. As we move into that digital world, And there's, you know, how do you print money in a digital world? You have what's called Bitcoin miners. The reliance on this digital currency, the reliance on this digital world, on the Internet of Things, the battlefield Internet of Things, the buy-in that the government's now putting through its supposed leaders, destroying it in a destructive manner, and we see that in the last issue, last report. We also see a constraint and a control that's coming in relative to corporations. Again, the shareholder problem, and what do you do? As a corporation, you've got limited liability, you got to make a profit. And when you put that into the context and mold that into your digital world and your digital currencies, bond holders of troubled Bitcoin miner Core Scientific said to be working with lawyers, as we have a problem within the corporations that are gigantic Bitcoin mining installations of computers that so-called work, proof of work, proof of stake type stuff, making coins, so-called coins, available. The cost of which is going up as the computations are required. We have a problem with the green energy. Now we have to supply the energy to these vastly energy-sucking facilities. I think that it costs money, costing more now for than the electron that they call as a Bitcoin or other token, any other token, actually. They have problems corporate side. And this is a very interesting insight that the Bitcoin miners, there may not be miners sufficient in order to do this without going to have their own legal problems within the structure of a corporation. So we see the battlefield Internet of Things is all based on facilities that is capacity that is vulnerable. And you need a system of money, the system of things that's not vulnerable. Can't be a thing that your country is protecting you from national security issues. It's another weak link in this whole process. You can see future monopoly in the government right here as well. As we also see major crypto hub issues bankruptcy warning. This became the theme. With the FTX is facing a liquidity shortfall of $8 billion, according to Bloomberg, the major crypto hubs are being found out or called out for investing in their own tokens. They just made them up. Kind of like the way the government makes up the Federal Reserve note. But we haven't caught on to that quite yet. We're going to catch up soon. It's going to catch up to us. The tsunami of that's going to just flood us and drown us. Or we're going to, as a people, figure out what we needing to do. I hope we can. I don't know what that is. But see, it's the house of cards. The crypto cards here is collapsing. As we move into some of the economic things, a crypto carnage contagion slams stocks, bonds, and bullion surge as dollar bulls purge. Here's the point about this. The crypto was investment type thing. The government's treating them as assets. People treat them as assets. Didn't treat them as a private money that's tradable amongst people privately. And so we saw that the collapse and all this other stuff, that market starts to collapse and people put their money in other places if you can get it. And where do they go? They go to bullion. They go to more trusting bonds. And I don't understand the trusting in the bond, but when you have a big organization like the United States Treasury who issues bonds and is that big and you work on the full faith and credit of the United States and the people, they're backed without even whatever that is. I don't even know what that is anymore. And you work on toxic debt and the so-called and the system still and the whole globe still works on that, you can pretty well say your bonds are going to be payable. You also predict the future quite a far way out. And then you say, oh, but they're transferring that system into the digital world. What is the one thing out that they're not going to be able to do? Well, that's going to be the bullion. That's your hard currency, if you will. It's a little more cumbersome, but it's more sure. You have it in your hands. They can't track it. They can't trace it. They can't monitor it. They can't surveil it. They have to physically come and take it from you. So don't stick it in a P.O. box. Or, I mean, what is a safety deposit box? Because the FBI knows where that's at. And gets at that through the third-party vulnerability, just like this crypto system is set up to be. Vulnerable on many points. The most important point was something I told you, that as a cryptocurrency, you would be attacked. Biden administration wants to make it easy to seize cryptocurrency without criminal charges. This is back to your civil forfeiture thing. I don't even know I sit here to wonder, how hard was this to see? What the subject matter I talk about is all to point these things out. And I don't see much action and movement from people and more discussion in how this is going to be done amongst ourselves, wherever you're going to do that, Twitter or whatever. I don't see the discussion on how we're going to survive these. Well, what is to survive? We survive it by not engaging, but we have to have alternatives. It's going to be really simple that way. But buried deep in a 61-page recent report of the United States Attorney General, the Biden administration called for dramatic expansion of the federal government's ability to seize and keep cryptocurrency. If enacted, the proposed changes would bolster both criminal forfeiture, and which requires a conviction to permanently confiscate property, as well as civil forfeiture, which doesn't require a conviction or even criminal charges to be filed. I won't go any further. This civil side is very dangerous, very hard to deal with. You have to know what you're doing. They put you in administrative confiscation, which is very difficult to deal with. You have to know the rules of the game there. You can't speak out of your rights. You're dealing in something that they've decided that they have control over. And it's intangible on top of that. And you've invested your time and money in it. You're not going to walk away likely from it. So, civil, you don't even need to be convicted. So, our engagement in it is going to be predictive of our failure. And so, how to resist the CBDC's five ways you can opt out of this dystopian future, as we heard the beginning articles talk about, that's controllable, it's programmable, it's going to interfere with your life in ways you probably never even understood. Very first rule here, I don't agree with all the rules, but there's something to food for thought. Use physical gold and silver. That was probably the very top one. How we're going to go back to that, I'm not sure. Second one I'm not so sure about, because it's the control grid system. Obtain a financial sovereignty with Bitcoin. I don't think so. But that's what they've offered here. You can hear maybe the error in that logic, but gold and silver. Start applying it. What do you think about that? I think gold and silver would be a good start. Even cash right now would be better. Get organized locally. Yeah, this is just a common theme. Exchange value for value. We're going to have to get back into hand-to-hand engagement, aren't we? You can't go electronic, and you got to deny that it's existing to you. Become a prepper, he says. Yeah, prepare. Talks about self-sustaining, self-sufficient, maybe self-reliant. I tend to be focused on that. But the article, how do we get to stay away from these CBDCs is to become self-reliant on the things that we need. And I said, look at Russia. Even though it's a country that can provide for itself, watch how it's dealing with this problem with a big oppressor, organized criminal syndicate against itself. Germany preparing, and you want to see what's king? Germany preparing for emergency cash deliveries, bank runs, and aggressive discontent ahead of winter power cuts. They're not relying on Bitcoin. No, they're going to make sure their cash is available, even though it may take wheelbarrows to do anything. And boy, aren't you seeing that in America. I was just looking at the seasonal cost for energy. The pellets and the propane now went up a third in not even just a season. So, and that's all fabricated, just like the fiat. Not only are we getting the depreciation in the money, but we're getting this self-inflicted escalation of pricing. But Germany is not going to the Bitcoin, notwithstanding the currency coin digital realm need. Again, Germany plowed under their green windmills, and they're going to start digging up the coal they need. They're not going to digital here. They're not going to the new world system, the transformed system, electronic technocratic system. No, they're going back to cash. Because if the natives don't get their cash, I don't care how many wheelbarrows they have to go to get a loaf of bread or pay their energy bill, the natives will take them down. And so we see reality coming to Germany. No reliance on the digital world. No reliance on green. Because what's coming is the path of hyperinflation. Another article, again, these are weeks old, but I think they're an indication of things. Here comes the train, folks. Are you going to stand on the tracks? Are you going to stand off the tracks? Or maybe get away even further in case that there's a derailment. You don't want to be anywhere near that thing, or at least as much as you can. Then there's an article here saying, I have a series of conversations lately on how did we, the world, get to this point. I think that it's a valid question, considering how well things were in the 90s after the Soviet Union had collapsed. Well, don't underestimate that was all part of a plan as well. Well, the real interesting follow-up question is, and remember that gentleman that was supposed to be a specialist I talked about, I don't remember his name, he was in on the destruction of the Soviet Union to bring on what he now promotes today as problems in Ukraine. So this is, and he's a globalist. So I don't know what more to say. This is long-term planning and execution going on. But this article goes on to tell us that there's and referring back to, I was partial to this story because it goes back to what I've been saying a bit, and maybe that's maybe prejudicial in this selecting these articles. But he goes, this author says, I think there have been two major game changers, the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the global financial crisis of 2008-2009. And so he hits the two major things I've been hitting. Then I added here 2019 was how they were going to tighten the noose around us on the medical martial law, which he doesn't say here. However, this still brings up there's a way to observe the world, how the history, if you will, can be predicted in the future, where we are today. And this hyperinflation, I think Grimner also was onto this when he figured it out. Talking about the Weimar Republic, he'd done articles on that for Real Liberty Media. Maybe you can track those down. He mentioned this. Go back to the Weimar Republic. It's the same kind of a thing. Not the same. I shouldn't say that. Very similar. The hyperinflation, you got to have lots of these fiat dollars in order to buy stuff. Something snapped. Someone else says something snapped. This other author says it's because of the transformation that happened 9/11. And I agree. And then the global toxic debt monetization. I agree. And then they prove that people won't respond to defend themselves even when they have the power and the right to defend themselves for due process in the Comey swindle. No one did. And so these people have license to keep moving. Then we can look and say, hey, maybe it's gone beyond us. But individually, might be able to start working, and then we get together mutually, and we might be able to push back from there. But we can observe something has snapped, unexplained 2.3 million jobs gap emerges in broken payroll reports. If you look at the graphs and you look at how they're doing it, there's a cook in the books going on, essentially. And so this brings on the idea that our people are not being employed. That's going to bring on another pressure in a society that's being pressed into hyperinflation. And so understand that you're looking forward, we're going to have a lot of hurting people. A lot of them are going to be incapacitated because of this jab thing as well. But we also move on. There's a series of articles now I have together. You might want to take a look at it if you get in the links to the blogcaster. We're at an end of a major era. Von Gerers warns of 2.5 quadrillion disaster waiting to happen. Now, we've heard of these things before. I can't even imagine these numbers, 2.5 quadrillion. I've heard those numbers. I talked about it, but I don't understand. The point is the valuation of things are such that this cook-in-the-books thing becomes real. As you saw, Covey swindle become real, that you're watching a setup disaster that you're going to have to be available to avoid. And a lot of it's going to not be in these systems that they've offered us to buy into and have others prepared and ready to go. Hedge fund Elliott sees hyperinflation bubble, the maybe worst market since World War II. So on the horizon, the people that are doing the numbers are telling us this is more real than it's ever been. And I don't know, maybe they could flick a switch and end it, but it doesn't look like they are. The unintended consequence of unintended consequences written by Hugh Smith, identifying that these monkeys that play with this don't have perfect knowledge, do not understand, so therefore cannot have perfect action if they could have perfect action. And so there's going to be beyond watching the train come down the track we're supposed to avoid, there's going to be unintended things that are happening because that train's been coming down that we may have to keep aware of. And so, again, just offering ourselves, open our eyes now, accept parts, watch what we're seeing, but don't just stand there and watch it, and watch how the system tries to say they weren't part of a fault, knowing full well that they caused this. Why? Because they're going to be on the other side. Unless they're a collaborator that are found out now, they're going to pass the other side and they'll be controlling us with that system they get in. As inflation came from nowhere, all these people now see the hyperinflation, but the inflation came from nowhere, says Lagarde. Putin and the pandemic are behind the worsening cost of living crisis in the EU, the head of the European Central Bank claims. Lagarde saying, oh, this came from nowhere. This is the height of arrogance to believe you should continue in that job if you think that this inflation came from nowhere. No, this is certainly is something that she's helped plan. She's on the front end of the CBDC stuff, as I told you when she came out and said that. She's also the one that came out and said that the jabs were the future economic system, which is hard to believe one jab, but see, it's going to be endless disease and the control that that brought in. And this is all happening at the same time when we're also getting knowledge, if we look around, how money laundering, I told you this is coming here from last week, how the officials are in the game of money laundering and utilizing these fronts in order to do that, which is exposed a bit, apparently, in the FTX thing. But that's not the only one. As I mentioned, it appears that there's hedge funds behind, let's say, things like or Uranium One, which we identified before, that is Oregon One, in that uranium deposit that no one really wants to know about is there. It's sitting in eastern Oregon. It goes from the middle of eastern Oregon all the way down into California. And so that was all a protected asset in the ground that the hedge funds could put money on. And then the people in the know could invest in that. But the laundering with immunity, and this is now going to the BIS, is the top of the scale that these non-governmental organizations are giving complete immunity. This article is a part one. There's a gob and a bunch of listed entities that the United States government has given immunity to. And I just wanted to ask you, as you read through that, why weren't you given an immunity first? Is a plan. They didn't mean to give you an immunity, notwithstanding your privileges and immunity, and the people ought to have stepped up and said stop. And we haven't. This is a neat article that comes and explains how these UN organizations, these non-government organizations, these global organizations, the BIS, the top of the heap, the most immune, everything they do is immune from anything. How'd they get there, folks? You need to ask yourself, and I want to point this out, that while this is all happening, there's money laundering going along right in front of our faces. We don't even really know about it. FTX may have exposed a bit of that. The insiders, the enemies within, are making profit from all this. They get all that cash. See, the inflation goes up. They get all that cash. They have plenty of cash to wheelbarrow around to where they want to go. But you and I won't. And the transformation happens because of all that. And then we respond amongst ourselves with we want to infight. And that's not going to work very well at all. As we move in at the same time, the industry is being attacked. The hundreds of U.S. news sites push malware in supply chain attacks. So keep going clicking on the news sites. Another propaganda condition, another attack vector from the military behind the media system. There are hundreds of U.S. sites push malware to supply chain to affect the supply chain is, the plan of attack. They're getting us to do it. The U.S. bank processed roughly $1.2 billion in ransomware payments through these types of vectors. This sets up a whole other dynamic that the banks are paying for ransomware. And again, back in 21, they were talking about they were going to outlaw ransomware, which has been going on. And we see also another problem here relative to this legal battle on cyber insurance and legal experts working in on trying to figure this whole thing out. Relative to who pays for these hacks. Remember, these hacks are affecting your life. And so the Swiss government wants the government to bail out as a cybercrime insurance cost spike. So they outlaw this protection. They also then protect the insurance company from having to pay it, where this one case, this non-PETA lawsuit, was determining that could it be considered an act of war that an attack happens to a corporation. This whole thing is a vulnerability and cost upon the cyber system, which eventually you end up paying for in the numerous way. We have to step off that train coming. We have to step far enough away from the unintended consequences of a train that shouldn't be coming. And hope something I said today will give you some focus to get in, engage where you can, take your skill, help others. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Tips or Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, Journey with Purpose.
Well, that's what... opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.